Welcome to Nuance Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka.
Hi.
Hello. Okay, Simi, this one's for you. So we've already spoken a little bit about veganism, general animal rights, environmentalism a little bit, but this one's a little bit same direction, but a bit more specific. The pig, the chazir, in general, in Jewish culture, given a very, very bad rep. Now, I know that chazir or pig is not kosher, you can't eat it, but you also can't eat a coyote or a snake or a jackal. But specifically, the pig is really has really bad rep in Judaism. Now, in English, we also say, oh, you're such a pig. So it's also not used for compliments, a pig. But specifically, it feels like in Jewish culture, it's used for like everything that's evil, if you will. You know, they put a pig in the Beis HaMikdash. It's like the worst defilement of the temple. That type. That's what I mean. They're not putting a snake in. They're not putting a cheetah in. They're putting a pig in. What's the deal with the pig? That's basically the short question.
Okay, so to repeat the question, or to phrase it differently, is that there's perhaps two sides of why a pig is problematic. That's already answering it, isn't it?
It's so, okay. It's a short question.
But so I suppose that why a pig? So I'd split it into two points. First of all, the secular reason why a pig, and then I suppose the more religious conception that's added towards why a pig.
Well, the secular conception, would you say, is because it's dirty, yeah.
It rolls around in mud.
And I kind of think they're cute, but okay, I hear you.
I never understood that. People thought pigs were cute.
They're really cute.
Okay, so have that debate.
Yeah. So they're dirty.
But there's also another aspect to it. For example, traditionally, just moving it, I suppose, segueing into the Jewish, I suppose, framework, when people alienate themselves from Judaism, we find socioculturally, eating pig is like the last thing that a person will do. I mean, they'll break Shabbos, they'll go down a road that is like disregarding religion in general, but they won't eat pig.
They might even call themselves atheists, but they still won't eat pig.
Exactly. It's like a last vestige. And this is more supporting your question. Like, why is that the case? And this is, I suppose my answer is developed around Shmuley's book.
Oh, Shmuley Phillips.
Yeah, the Judaism Reclaimed, where I thought the way he developed this answer is first of all, a great opening for conversation and ideas, but also really succinct.
Okay, what does he say?
So simply speaking, he says that the idea of a pig, I mean, it's mentioned in this week's parasha, the idea of a pig is singled out because it has one, but not both, of the signs of kashrut. It has split hoofs, but it doesn't chew the cud. Now, there are other animals that have this sort of only one of the signs, but the uniqueness about the pig and the reason why the pig is singled out is because the pig, it is an external manifestation of kosher, but an internal, it doesn't have it.
If I could add something, if you look at the kosher animals, they're all docile animals. They're all farm animals. You wouldn't even think of being able to eat a lion. Forget about split hooves. I mean, it doesn't have hooves, it has claws. So a pig belongs also into that docile animal farming, farmyard animal. So you would think that potentially it is because it isn't, doesn't have claws, it has a hoof.
So that's interesting. That's adding to the externalities of why you would think it's okay.
Yeah, you really would think, because nobody would think you can eat a panda bear.
And one of the ideas that Shmuley develops is, you know the word Murano?
Yeah, oh yeah, that means pig, but we didn't make that up.
No, but the reason why, apparently, or one of the reasons why the Muranos, which were basically crypto-Jews, Jews who were hiding their Judaism in private, but externally they were expressing a Catholic way of life, is
because of the Spanish Inquisition.
Correct. And the thing they would not do is eat pig.
Oh, I heard one time about like the Inquisition checking if they substituted their pig's meat for cow meat. And yeah, I heard of something like that.
Cool. So this idea, so just to move away from the cultural discussion, back to the ethical aspect to it and why the Jewish tradition and Chazal go around the idea of a pig, because you have this notion of self-deception. You have this external floundering, but internal rotten, meaning the external manifestation of kosher, but the internal lack.
And so that, external being split hoofs and internal lacking being the chewing, which you wouldn't necessarily see from the outside.
Now, if you see that in human the human experience, you have a person who demonstrates a religious outward appearance. They act so lovely, and they act to the world in a very beautiful way, both it religiously, ethically, culturally, but internal, they're rotten to the core. That's why, interesting, in the Talmud, the Rome was often paralleled with the pig.
Rome and the pig?
Rome, Esav, different.
Why?
Because Rome had an image of justice around them. They had the law, Roman law. But Chazal looked at that external expression of justice merely hiding a rotten corruption that was within.
Interesting. You know that I just listened to a class today who was talking about negative freedom. It was about Pesach in general and how the Torah's version of morality or of freedom is not a negative freedom where basically you have laws governing us not hurting each other, that each citizen should be able to not get hurt by the other. That's just negative freedom, but it leaves a void of then what am I living for? So the Torah, the laws aren't just negative freedom, they're positive morality. They are that the laws in the Torah aren't just that we don't kill each other, but that they should refine you from the inside. So, for example, no government would disallow jealousy. As long as you're not stealing, you're fine. Be jealous. The Torah forbids jealousy because of what it does for the inside. It makes you rotten inside.
Interesting, interesting. So let me just to fit that idea in.
Go ahead.
So the aversion to pigs is this external manifestation with the negation of the internal. Your point is that an interesting aspect of Judaism is the constant refining of the individual from within. So to just sum it up in a way, the reason why we have this aversion to the pig is because it stands in the way of any sort of growth. And what I mean by that is self-deception. That's why the word self-deception is so key here, is because a pig doesn't just deceive others. A pig doesn't care, obviously, but a pig or the pig personality doesn't only deceive others, he deceives himself. A person who deceives others, you do damage to people around you, obviously, because if they find out or however it may be, there is damage that can be caused to the external world. But more profoundly, I think, is if a person takes the symbolism of the pig and internalizes it and only displays a good outside, but inside it's not there, that aspect of self-deception negates any possibility of growth.
Yeah, they'll never wake up one morning and be like, you know what, I want to do better. They've arrived already.
Beautifully put, they have reached their potential. All wisdom or insight is based off the idea that I am striving, I am trying to qualitatively change, not just gain more stuff, I want to become.
Or even do more stuff.
You want to become a better person. The pig negates growth, negates a person living up to their potential, because as you said, they've reached it. Hence the pig, on some level, at least what the pig symbolizes, undermines all of religiosity.
Interesting, yeah. The only thing is, Simi, is that so often we talk about how Judaism is a religion of action, and whether or not right then you're feeling it or you still need to learn about it, if you do it, that's kind of the main part. So that kind of stands in opposition to what we're just saying now, is that it's the inside that matters.
So it's a good question. It's always the problem with what they call lo lishma. If you're not doing something with the
right
correct
intent.
With the right intent, does that negate your right to do it? Should I keep Shabbat even if I don't think it matters, care, or even believe in the principles it's based off?
That's an age-old question, isn't it?
Right. So I think it would have to fall into the whole lo lishma, bo lishma, the whole that, yes, a person who is doing something for no reason whatsoever with no intention behind it, but not with no intention right now, but with no intention of ever developing intention.
Then what's the point?
Right. I think the point would be external trappings with the hope of internal change makes it authentic from a Jewish standpoint.
Yes, I guess the thing you just quoted, lo lishma bo lishma, not with right intent will bring right intent, is that's very psychologically astute. Because if I'm in the right environment, and I'm surrounding myself with people who are inspired and want to learn, and then I'm doing the stuff, and I'm walking the walk, and I'm talking the talk with, like you said, the intention of wanting to learn, it'll come a lot easier than if I say, okay, I'm going to be agnostic until somebody can convince me otherwise. It's much easier to act and then learn from inside, from within. So maybe the way you could marry your point of the pig and this concept of action is that the intent to want to do it has to be there, and then the action will bring it. So you have to want to not just be external, not just be like a pig. You have to want to refine yourself on the inside.
Right. Nice. So just let me say that again, maybe. Mm-hmm. The idea you're saying is that the difference between the idea of lo lishma, bo lishma, that it's something not done with the correct intent, with the hope of doing it with the correct intent, even though on a surface level, it's the pick. It's you're
exactly
acting.
Right.
I'm acting in a way. Let's think of a good example. A person who, I don't know, people do this sort of thing where they refrain from speaking Lashon Hara for like an hour a week or something. They're like acting in a way at that moment that clearly doesn't represent their true inner core because they're clearly doing it for 1 hour a week. But on some level, their point of doing that is that they'll internally change so it will affect the rest of their week, not just that 1 hour.
Right, right. Versus if somebody is purely doing it as like a competition or something, it may or may not affect them.
Or for external purposes. Maybe that's a good point.
Okay.
A person who does religious externalities for an external benefit.
Like for the honor it will give
for
you.
For the honor it will give them, for the social credit it will give them. That is purely the pick, let's call that.
It may also work, but it might be a little harder.
But that would be the reason why I don't think it would work on principle is because their goal is external.
Right. What I'm saying is often habits, then once you hit a midlife crisis or once you're in a bad place, because you're already doing that stuff, it'll lead you to think about it. That's what I'm saying.
You're not
distancing yourself from something. You didn't pull up the anchor. Let's say you're going to synagogue. You know, let's say you're praying. You're not in the mood. You don't feel it. You don't believe it. You're doing it because of the social cred it gives you. If then you're in a crisis and you want to pray, at least you still know how. That's what I'm saying.